a shruggage of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush of Benjamite. Lord, my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to save, to rescue me. The Lord, my God, if I have done this and there is a guilt on my hands, I have repaid my all with evil, or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. Arise, Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God, decree justice. Let the assembled people gather around you while you sit enthroned over them on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. Bring to an end the violence of the wicked, and make the righteous secure you to the righteous God, who probes minds and hearts. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is the righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend the string his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons to make ready his flaming arrows. Whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble and gives birth to disembowelment. Whoever digs a hole and scoops out and falls into the pit they may have made, the trouble they come recoils on them. Their violence comes down to their own heads. I will give thanks to you, to the Lord, because his righteousness. I will sing the praise of the name of the Lord Most High.
Thank you very much, Lisa. I know that was hard work for Lisa, but well done. Well done, everybody else? Yes, thank you, Lisa. That was the first time Lisa's done that, and she said to me she was very, very distressed. I know the feeling, but well done. So, Psalm 7. You will need the Bible with you, and let's pray. Father, we beg of you that you will please reveal yourself to the speaker, the hearers, whether in this building or online. Please may you enable us by your Spirit to quickly hear what you have to tell us and put it into practice to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Psalm 7. Psalm 7 is David singing the contents of his heart to the Lord in prayer. It would be accurate to say he was living in fear of his life, he was distressed, and he was just distressed in all sorts of ways. So this is a prayer which is expressed in singing. We are told it's a sung prayer from the introduction. David opens his heart to the Lord in prayer. David opens his heart to the Lord in prayer. The clicker is not with me. I shall leave. Someone will help me with that. So David opens his heart to the Lord in prayer. Church family, I don't know if you like me. I don't know if you love wildlife documentaries, but I love them. I find lions fascinating. Anyone else find lions fascinating? Oh, not just me. Then I thought I was weird. Very good. I find lions fascinating. Their mane, that big hair. Their teeth, just the size of their body. Their muscle. Their focused gaze. Lions are ruthless. And when I say ruthless, I mean ruthless. They are ruthless and strong. One bite is enough to break the back of a hyena. Did you know that? Just one bite for a full-grown lion, one bite. I'm sorry, this is awful for vegetarians, but I see one of the vegetarians staring at me at the front. I'm sorry, I'll move on very quickly. Anyway, so one bite from a lion is enough to kill a hyena. Recently, I watched one of these wildlife programs where a male big lion had got hold of one of those bush pigs. In a couple of bites, it ripped it to pieces. It disappeared. Amazing strength. David says in verse 2, Lord my God, if you don't save me, if you don't deliver me, there will be no rescuer. There will be no rescuer. I'll be torn apart, ripped apart like a lion by my enemy. That's how David felt. And from verse 1, he pours out his heart to the Lord in prayer. In the middle of his grief, fear, from the position he finds himself, he lays out before the Lord, he lays out before God what he was feeling. And not rushing through, letting out the whole situation before the Lord in prayer. Lord my God, if you don't rescue me, I will be torn apart like a lion with no one to rescue me. Yet the enemy is ferocious. He is capable of tearing me apart to pieces. David continues in verse 6 to 8. In verse 6 to 8, he has judgment day in his mind when he says, verse 7, let the assembled people gather around you, you who sit enthroned on high. Let the Lord judge. Confident that the Lord will vindicate him according to his righteousness, according to his integrity, vindicate me, Lord, he says. Bring an end to all this violence. We see that in verse 7. Read with me verse 4. If I have repaid my ally with evil, or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. I will be torn apart, ripped apart like a lion by my enemy. That's how David was feeling. And so from verse 1, he pours out his heart to the Lord in prayer. Did you notice the Shigayon, difficult to read in there, of David, which is sung to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjamite? I read up the commentaries to see who this Cush is. Pretty much none of the commentaries could work out who Cush was. But we do know that Cush was causing David this stress and problems, this danger. I don't know who he is, but he's a Benjamite and he's from Cush. I don't know any more than that, and the commentaries couldn't help me on any more than that. So, in the middle of his grief and fear, from the position he finds himself, he lays out what he felt to the Lord. And as I said, verse 7, he says, let the assembled people gather around you while sit enthroned. Confident that God will vindicate him according to his righteousness, according to his integrity. Vindicate me, he says, David says. Vindicate me, Lord. Bring an end to violence. We see that, as I said, in verse 7. Church family, you will know that David was not a perfect man. You will know that in other parts of the Bible, we are told that David told lies. David slept with another man's wife. We are told that he even got a man killed. And so when David says, save me from all that's going on because of my righteousness and integrity, he is talking specifically about the situation he finds himself. This specific situation. We also know from the book of Samuel that there was an occasion when David was hiding from his enemy, King Saul, in a cave, hiding away. And what happens? Saul comes in to use the cave for his private needs. And what is in there? David has an open door to kill his enemy. What does he do? Does he kill him? No, he doesn't. He lets him go. Instead of killing him, he chose not to do any harm, letting his enemy go. So that just proves that in that specific situation, in what I'm saying, David was choosing to do what was right. Verse 9. He calls to God who probes minds and hearts. And that includes David's own heart and the enemy's heart. And so, David opens up his heart to the Lord. He says in various verses, he says, "Awake, my God, decree justice." Verse 8. "Judge, clear me from blame. Bring an end to violence." We see that in verse 9. In his crisis, David opens his heart to the Lord in prayer. In the crisis he finds himself, he doesn't look anywhere else. What does he do? He opens his heart to the Lord in prayer. The second thing he does is, I can't read that. The second thing he does is he also lays out what he knows of God. What does he do? You can say with me. He also lays... I will do that again. What does he do? He absolutely, and there's loads and loads of verses in the part that we looked at that lays out what David knows of the Lord. He says, I think I've got this on PowerPoint. Is that right? Oh no, go back one. Anyway, he says, verse 1, "Lord my God, you are my refuge. You save, you deliver, you rescue." Again, "You decree justice. You are enthroned. You are most high. You are shield." I'm not making this up. All that is in the passage that we've just looked at. "You are righteous. You are judge." We see that in verse 11. "You display wrath." Not just yesterday, not just today, but every day you display wrath. "You are judge." He says that twice. David did not attempt to repay or fight back himself. He didn't say, "I'm going to take these on." No. He was trusting God for justice and deliverance. Verse 12. That's it. "If the enemy does not relent, God will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He has prepared deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows." David draws confidence in the Lord to bring judgment and justice. Oh, yes, he knows he's done nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong in those circumstances, in that situation he finds himself. He's done nothing wrong. He draws confidence in the Lord to act. Not himself, not anyone else, but in the Lord. Did you notice also that David knows God to be his Savior? We read that in verse 10. "Without you, Lord my God, I will be torn apart, ripped to pieces like a lion." Then he moves on to say, "It is inevitable that if you're pregnant with evil, you will give birth to trouble and disillusionment." We see that in verse 14. It's a funny picture here, isn't it, that we see in verse 15 of someone who digs a hole and falls into it themselves. Like an elastic band, another funny one. I see one or two of my kids play with elastic band and poofs, straight in their face. It says here, like an elastic band, trouble recoils back on them. Violence comes on their own head. He finishes with thanking and praising the Lord, his righteousness, the Lord Most High. Church family, did you know the Lord Jesus knew this psalm? He lived it. He knew this psalm really well. He lived it. He knew it. He knew what it was like to be accused falsely. He knew the grief of being pursued by an enemy. He, though, was totally innocent. He who knew no sin, he who is God, was accused falsely. It is really painful, isn't it, when someone accuses you of something you've not done. Anyone else relate to that? It is painful. Oh, just my sons and my nephew. Anyone else? Oh, no adults feel. Oh. It's painful to really be accused of something you know you haven't done. The Lord Jesus knew. He, though, was totally innocent. He knew no sin. He was accused falsely. On the cross, he was ripped to pieces for you and for me. On the cross, he defeated the enemy. He acted as judge and savior on the cross. So today, he offers a place of refuge and deliverance to all who will turn to him. There was a warning. Did you see the clear warning in verse 12? For those who don't trust him, the enemy. If you do not relent, he will sharpen his sword. Now, that is scary. I digressed a bit. Every now and then, at work, I wander off in my mind. I imagine an angel standing with his sword, ready to act on behalf of the Lord. And I think to myself, if that angel has been sent by the Lord, none of us have a chance to stand. None of us. And the warning we read in there says, if you don't relent, he will sharpen his sword. I'm not saying this to frighten you. It's there. Can you imagine the angel of the Lord with a sword standing? You have absolutely no chance. He will bend his string and his bow. He has prepared. He has prepared deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows. Yes, you may be innocent in one or two circumstances. Yes, you might think, I don't do anything wrong. But God requires perfection, brothers and sisters. He requires that you come to him in total perfection. So today, if you declare with your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved from certain coming wrath of God. It is coming to all who deny Jesus. Anyone that says, oh, there's another way. Oh, no, all religions lead to the same way. Absolutely no way. There is no other way by which you must be saved. Only through Jesus, the man who came and died for you on the cross. There is no other way, brothers and sisters. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I beg of you, today, if you hear his voice, listen and hear him before you die. You die, that's the end of it. You die, you will face God. And you'll have no excuse. Because today I am telling you that through Jesus, you can go away, you can get away from that sword, those flaming arrows coming to you. It is coming to all who say no to Jesus. Today he's offering you eternal life, perfection by his grace. He's swapping that being ripped apart. You're being ripped apart with Jesus who was ripped apart on the cross for us. I see, church family, you're sitting there wondering what this passage has to do with us who trust in him already. You're thinking, oh yes, yes, I've already trusted in him. I'm okay. David's injustice, sorrow and grief and fear caused him to immediately turn to the Lord in prayer. I haven't been moving on my PowerPoint. It caused him to turn to the Lord immediately in prayer, where he opened up his heart, laid out what he knew of the Lord, outpouring his heart's content to the Lord, including stating that he had done nothing to deserve what was going on. He had not spoken anything wrong, but he was in the middle of a crisis. So, if you too today feel that without the Lord's rescue, you will be torn apart like a lion, ripped apart to pieces. If your ferocious lion, with his gaze, with his mane, with those teeth, is coming for you today, and you know he's very close by, if you know your ferocious lion very close, and your circumstances might be like this, you know you did nothing wrong in your situation, in your specific situation, but blame keeps coming. Perhaps in your marriage, your family, you keep doing everything right, but the abuse keeps coming from your husband, from your wife, from your in-laws. They are so angry with you, always looking down on you. They've never really accepted you. You've never done anything wrong. At school, your friends hate you. You've never said a bad thing about them. They ignore you in the play area. They won't even acknowledge you there. At work, your manager's forever piling up that work. You already snowed under, but he's piling it on. Your colleagues cut corners, telling lies, but you always doing what's right. Promotion comes up, you're overlooked. You try and apply for that job, you can't get it. When the bad results come up in your team, who's to blame? You. But you've done nothing wrong. Actually, my colleagues don't even pull their weight, but I'm the one that gets blamed for it. All my neighbours say a lot of false things about us. They hate me and my family. We've been kind to them. We've invited them round for coffee, for dinner and the rest of it, but they've got it in for us. They say horrible things about my kids. They say I'm a bad parent. My landlord is so unreasonable. The rent is always on time. I'm always kind to him, huh? We've kept the house nice and tidy. Oh man, we ask him, huh? One thing to repair in the house. It's never done. It's now been 8 months. That bathroom is still leaking. Do you know where I'm going with this? You've done nothing wrong. Verse 8. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity. O Most High, bring an end to the violence of the wicked. That's where our confidence is. You who probes minds and hearts. Church family, the Lord Jesus knows. He has the experience. He's been there. He was pierced for you. He went through more than that. All night abused. All night punched. All night beard pulled. All night. You who are the Son of God, save yourself. He knows, church family. We need to lay out before him exactly what our circumstances are. We need to preach the gospel to us. No one else will help. Nothing else will do. Preach the gospel to yourself. Remind yourself. The one who laid himself out for you will never let you down. Whatever circumstances you find yourselves in. Do you know if you die today, if you believe in Jesus, do you know where you're going? You're going heaven. Why are you going heaven? Because he was ripped to pieces for you. So, I say to you, do not fight back, brothers and sisters. I understand. You need to speak up sometimes. You can't just take all the blows and injustice. There are proper ways of saying something back. But according to the context of the bit of Bible we've read, do not fight back. Jesus is who will bring justice and deliverance. Not you, not me. So, open your heart to the Lord in prayer and lay out what you know of God in prayer. Preach the gospel to yourself. He who is able to keep you from falling will keep you going till either he returns or you die. He will never let you down. He is the one who will deliver you from being ripped to pieces by that lion. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.